like Jonathan did with David, then the enemy has access to you. That's a soul tie. Okay? It's a soul tie. There's no soul ties are being led by your emotions, being led by relationships instead of God. We have to get out of that arena and be led by the Spirit of God. God's not going to mess things up for you. He's going to make it better than your junk is making it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Codependency is based on false loyalty. Hiding secrets. Now, there's discretion. And discretion is something God calls us to. What's discretion? The discretion is I don't say what God tells me not to say, and I do say what he tells me to say. But if somebody says, oh, don't tell anybody, I can't promise you that because I'm not going to make a vow to you. Make no vow to any man. That's what the Bible says. We need to just live the Bible. We need to know the Bible, live the Bible. And truthfully, it's basically, it seems complicated till it all sums up in one thing, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And that will cause you to love your neighbor as yourself. Demand exclusive loyalty. Jealousy comes in there. And this is one of the things that happened with me that that has reminded me with some of the things, Margaret, just came up to me today. There's a lot of things that this reminded me, because you really have a lot of the gift, personality and stuff of an aunt that I was really close to. Now, when you're hurt by someone for whatever reason, whether they're jealous of you, whether, you know, your parents really can be jealous of you. You know, you could come in and mess up an already hurt person by just being born. And so when someone's jealous of you, or envious of you, whatever, you know, it messes with you. And so a lot of times you're going to look for someone who can come along and minister to you in those areas where you were neglected or whatever. But either way, I had an aunt that was really there for me in many ways. And she just treated me so wonderful. I mean, when things got bad at home on occasion, I would also use that to put it in people's faces, like, well, I'll go live with them. Like, I don't need you. And so I used that relationship with that aunt to try to hurt people who I felt were trying to hurt me. I know all this is bad. Thank God we get forgiven. Thank God we get set free. But these relationships get all messed up because God's not the center of them. But in this relationship, this particular person had a lot of money and different things like that. And I didn't care about, we had greed all over our family, we won't get into all that, but this person really liked having a good time. And so they were fun to be with. And so they would take you places, they'd buy you stuff. I mean, it was just, you just felt loved. You really felt loved. I really felt loved. I really felt loved. And then this person didn't want to be unfair, because she knew that I had brothers and sisters who she was also the aunt of. But I had this feeling for this exclusive loyalty. And it would really hurt me if she invited them to come. I had a cousin a little bit older than myself, you know, that I would hang out with, to hang out with this aunt. And I love my cousin too. But I noticed, and God just was bringing all this to me, this stuff I sit around and think about, saying, God, Why does this things bother me? And what would bother me, and this is gross, I just repent. And see, and what the reason I even tell you all this is because I don't mind being humble. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. But he never sinned, so he didn't even have to do this. But but Paul had to do this kind of stuff. And so if you see how it works in my life, then you can start doing it also and say, ooh, what does that make me feel like? So there's been things such as, okay, with this aunt, she would buy me things, but she didn't. She held back because she said, well, that wouldn't be fair to your sisters and, you know, especially to my sisters, but brothers too. And my thinking was, that's not right. Why, you know, I was saying, why should I not be blessed? Of course, we didn't use that word. Because there's three of us. We're not the same person. You know, it was almost like, wait a minute, they're not here. They're not trying to hang out. They don't even want to hang out. And so I felt deprived in a weird way, even though she very much blessed me. I knew I'd have more. if she didn't have to treat us all the same. And so I had this jealous loyalty to her, like she should be loyal to me. I'm the one hanging out with her. I'm the one going places with her. I'm the one, you know, helping her with my cousin because my cousin was handicapped, things like that. Do you know what I'm saying? And so if there was any blessings that came, I felt like they got them because of me. Okay. Now, if you look at this hierarchy, nasty scale that we destroyed last week, this lie was still in my heart some that people were being blessed, but it was really because of me. I know that's gross. People are only blessed because of God. And God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. But with this wrong thinking from my past, I took some of the credit when people were blessed. And so I would actually feel like I had a right to things because of my pouring out into people's lives that other people didn't have the right to, which would cause other people to be envious of what I had. Everybody's quiet now. She's spilling her guts. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I felt like, this is really gross. I can't believe I'm going to say that for everybody. What do you mean to me? There's just a little talk to God on the side. So for example, oh man, you're going to make me say this. Can we turn the lights out for a second while I say Oh man. It's okay. Getting free is great. Oh God, this is really humbling, Lord. You know, like, yeah. Okay. Don't anybody ever give me a hard time if you have to call out your stuff or stand in line. Okay. Because I get to tell mine in detail. You just get to stand here with a smile on your face after an altar call that's pretty general usually. Anyhow, for example, and this happened more than once, but I just really start noticing it. When we had that birthday party, which was a nice party a week or so ago, and about a week ago, and people brought all that food, and especially certain people in the church who really are givers, who God's really blessed, really gave out a lot to honor me. That person being generous was like, oh, just let everybody take it. And this thing came up and we said, no. Some people have greed, so they're like, I get everything there is. And some people are so used to they're so envious that they feel like they can only get if they go after what somebody else has. And that's part of envy too. And so the envy in them is coming against the envy in me. It's like if you see that thing, you think, I'll never be honored like that. God will never give me stuff like that. You know, I'll never get to that place. You need to get rid of that thinking. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. The Bible says, what you sow, you will reap. You know, God's the one who gave that honor. God's the one who put it on people's hearts. But the thing in my heart was that lie from this thing in my childhood that the only reason anybody else would get any of this is because of me. Therefore, I should have control over who gets it. I know it's gross, okay? So I apologize for that thing that has to do with jealous from my past. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's really quiet. Everybody's like, God, we hate it when she has to humble herself that bad. Ooh, that was rough. But other things like that, where control would come up and act as if something belongs to me and it's my possession and I should be in charge. I knew that party was from God. I've been doing this ministry for 20-some years and I've never had a really big party. The one party somebody tried to give me years before, I ended up in the hospital with my son overnight and missed the party. So I know God gave me that party. I don't have any questions that God gave me that party. I don't believe you gave me that party. I believe God used you to give me that party. I believe God was in that party from the beginning to the end. I don't want anybody to ever try to duplicate that party. Only God could do that kind of thing. And it was awesome. And I'm not taking away even 1 second from people being obedient to what God was doing. But if you've got this thing in you, this jealous envy thing once you're present, you would look at that party and you would have in your heart, well, she's getting that only because she's the pastor here. Or she's getting that only because she hangs out with people here who have more money. Or she's getting that only because. And what God wants you to do, be real about what you're thinking. Because that kind of stuff is how you get free. And that doesn't mean that you also don't have the part going, man, God, I'm glad you're blessing her. Man, God, I'm glad you're honoring her. Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of this. It's not about that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about getting those mixed emotions out. I wasn't sitting there the whole party going, don't anybody touch that cake. Don't everybody get near. I wasn't sitting there like that the whole time. You know, like I actually knew God was doing this thing. I actually knew. It was just even in the midst of God honoring you, even in the midst of God blessing you, even in the midst of it, there's going to be those situations where something comes up in you that you know is wrong. And when that happens, that's the time to go to God and say, what was that? Thank you for all the rest. But God, if you could show me that. And then he gave me some dreams and other things happened. I didn't know what it was. Because to me, that was right thinking. It wasn't that blatant. I won't say I exaggerate this stuff. I will say that when you start talking this stuff out and you get humble enough to say what's really going on, it's ugly. All right? When it just stays around in your brain as a little thought that ping-pongs back and forth, you don't quite know how ugly it is. So when you begin to expand on what's really going on, you will see how horrible it is. And that's good because then you can hate it, renounce it, and get free from it. Because anything that you don't hate isn't leaving. And all the, you know what I'm so excited about? Can you imagine truly having a ministry or a place where we all come together, even starting to see this in your families, where all that junk is gone? Can you even imagine how great this could be? Could there really come a bride without spot or blemish? Could there really be a people walking in so much love and so content with who they are in Christ and caring about people so much and seeing people set free and delivered and using their gifts, their talents, their personalities, their money, everything that they have for his glory and not to feel superior? Won't that be awesome? Could that not be the church in the book of Acts that made sure nobody had a need unmet? But also didn't feed the greed. See, manipulation, control, and all that tries a counterfeit of all this. There's a lot of politics that has a counterfeit of all this. I want the real. I want the real. I want the real when really it's all about God and his glory. Isn't that cool? All right, has anybody got any questions? This one, here's one some of you have. Okay, ready? Resentful, a dislike of another who has something you desire. Write that one down. Resentful, dislike of another who has something you desire. In other words, you don't like someone just because they have something you want. Now remember, we're going to talk about this some more, but it's because you don't ask, you don't seek, and you don't knock. That God's not blessing you. Here's the truth. You don't have to be jealous because, and I remember we did this teaching a long time ago and it was over rivalry. But here's the way we've been set up to believe because of the enemy. Here's dad's big. And as long as you're the only child in the house, you're sitting on dad's lap and everything's great. But then comes the baby. Boop. And then we become envious. Then all this mess starts happening. But here's the key about God. His lap is bigger than every human being that he's ever created. His lap is bigger. You know what's so awesome about being the bride of Christ? It consists of every single person who falls in love with Jesus and lets the Holy Spirit sanctify them. There's no competition in the kingdom. There's no competition in the kingdom. And if you read the stories in the Old Testament, they didn't get that. That's why they were fighting and doing all that stuff. That was from the fall. We're back in the kingdom. There are enough teaching positions. There are enough conferences. There's enough everything for everybody. There's an entire world out there on its way to hell. And there's plenty for everyone to do, unless you've got to be on that scale. And you're not happy unless you're at the top. Because then you're going to spend your whole life contending for what somebody else has. When there's really not, they don't even really have it. It's all illusion. All right? All right. First, I'm not even going to read this. Matthew 27, 18 and Luke 15, 10 talks about envy is so horrible. Okay? Matthew 27, 18 and Luke 15, 10. In both of those accounts, it's made clear that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, wanted to do away with Christ for one reason only. They were envious. They were envious of the people following him. They were envious of the power and the signs and the wonders. They were envious of what he had with God. Envy will cause you to blaspheme. Envy will cause you to make up stuff or what, defame people. It will cause you to slander. It will cause you to twist things in your own thinking. You know, I want you to become sensitive when you're doing that. So you can hate it, renounce it, and break the power of it. All right, now let's look at, Acts 13:45. Look at this.